The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the board, staff, underwriters, and donors of Voice of Vashon. Well, good afternoon, and welcome to Adventures in Recovery. Greetings, Tom Walston, your host every Tuesday for Adventures in Recovery here at the Voice of Vashon 101.9, your listener-supported Island Connection. So, what a beautiful Tuesday we have today towards the end of summer. I'm not ready to throw my hat in yet. We got a gorgeous day today. It's supposed to be up in the 80s, actually. And got some interesting guests showing up today. We've got several events coming around on Vashon and that you might be excited to hear about. We've got Emmy Bell joining us later on. I know you've all probably haven't been able to sleep wondering where we are with the diaper drive right now. Or maybe you have been able to sleep, but maybe the baby hasn't. Anyway, Emmy Bell's going to fill us in with where we're at with the diaper drive. We've got a couple months left to reach our goal of 2,000, but come on, folks, you can do it. And speaking of you can do it, I've got a great guest with us today because some of you, I don't know, maybe you've experienced feelings of hopelessness or, well, you just need to be reminded that you're not alone, and grieving can really impact our lives in a number of ways. With me today is one of my return favorite guests on the show, Kenny Alton. Kenny has a master's degree in mental health, and he's helped a lot of people on this island in a lot of different ways, and he continues to do so. Glad you're here today, Kenny. Welcome.
Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the board, staff. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not.
There we go.
Thank you. You just got to make sure that my views are not going to infect this radio station. So.
Well, you don't have to worry about that. Technical error on my part. Sorry. Go ahead, Kenny.
Yeah, thank you for having me here, Tom. I'm coming in with this subject of grief, and also to announce that I'll be running a grief group at the Senior Center starts this Thursday, the 18th, from 5 to 6:30. It's actually full right now. We have a waiting list, but hopefully this will be a continuing thing that's going to happen at the Senior Center, this grief group. Title is Grief is Grief. And I use that as the title of it because grief is such a significant part of our lives and the great connector and the universal connector to everybody. Everybody has grief. And my background with grief work started with a woman named Sobhuntu Somme. She's from West Africa in the Dogra culture, Burkina Faso. And in their culture, they believe that grief is sort of like pollution. It's a poison. And if you don't process your grief, then it can do damage to those around you, do damage to the village. And I think, you know, working with youth and working with adults, I feel like grief is just so dominant in our emotional content right now. And it's really important for us to process this grief, especially when I work with youth. You know, there's that saying that we hear a lot, you know, it takes a village. But the saying is when the youth is not held by the village, it'll burn down the village in order to feel its warmth. And I think that's what happens when we are not allowed to process our grief. And We can become aggressive. We can become angry. We can become depressed. We can not want to participate in anything. The need for life sort of will be taken away from us. So it's really like this idea that when I worked with Subunfu and the grief rituals is that, you know, we need to express our grief. And in their culture, they have a grief ritual every day. You might have to travel a little bit, but there is a grief ritual every day in that culture.
You know, it's unfortunately in our Western culture, unlike several other cultures, we don't have a process or a protocol for processing grief. Yeah, and yeah. It's very unfortunate. In fact, in our Western civilization, we don't have a lot of processing culture, not only with grief, but in a lot of other areas that have become very, very traditional mm-hmm. in, I would say, probably most other cultures.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just because we're the new world, but when we think about grief and grieving, I think most of the time we think about losing somebody or losing something, and we don't really take into account that it could be something such as losing a job or changing vehicles, or basically it comes down to letting go of something that you perhaps hadn't planned on letting go of.
Yeah, grief is so broad. I mean, grief is like the threshold emotion. It's a way to get you to joy. It's a way to get you to understand your sorrow. It's a way to get you... When I work with people in grief, a lot what comes up is when they come in for a certain reason. Oh, I have this loss, or I have this... feeling, but there's also this, like, when you really start to investigate it, betrayal is like a big source of grief in our culture. You know, we feel betrayed by those around us. We feel betrayed by our government. We feel betrayed by our family that, you know, we're not getting the parents that we want or feel like we deserve. So there's a lot. So when I say grief is grief, you come in, especially when I did the grief rituals, you'd come in with, oh, this is what I'm grieving about. And then you realize, wow, there's so much more that I need to tap into, so much more grief that has been unprocessed throughout my life. And you could feel it. It's like the thing that's locking you down and not allowing you to move into other aspects. Like grief, when we understand our grief, we understand our love. Is really, that's mm-hmm. another source of grief is mm-hmm. is the loss of that love or that feeling of love, that, you know, betrayal or a death from somebody you love. So those are the other aspects we have to acknowledge, as grief can take us to those other areas.
And one of the things I tend to think about is there was a book I read once called Feelings Buried Alive Never Die. So if you're unable to process your grief in a healthy way, it's going to come out sideways one way or another.
Yeah.
Like you say, it could come out in anger. It could come out in acting out. It could be self-destructive behaviors. It mm-hmm. could be a lot of things.
Yeah. The dissociation is what we're trained to in this culture, right? Mm-hmm. Either through substances, through, football, sports, or whatever. But if we don't really access those emotional contents that we're experiencing and stay with it and stay in that tension. And I think grief is the great door to get to where you need to go next.
Mm-hmm. It's almost a coming of age situation, because when we look back at grieving, most of us experienced before we even knew what the heck it was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could be taking a toy away from us when we were, yeah. or maybe not getting fed when we needed to be fed, mm-hmm. not only physically, but maybe spiritually, or emotionally, exactly. Look how many people suffer from forms of abuse, such as maybe avoidance.
Right.
Or
shame.
Shame, absolutely.
That's a betrayal that's really dominant in our culture. And I think when it's not acknowledged, and we don't talk a lot about shame, but I like to look at it, it's like whenever I feel like shame's driving my car, that's when I turn off the engine, get out, and think about where I'm going and why I'm going there.
Interesting. Well, right? Look at, for instance, okay, I'm feeling some shame. but I, especially being a male, I don't want to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
I'm going to push it aside and I'm going to get out in the car and go to a bar or I'm going to go to a casino or I'm going to go to a strip joint or whatever it is. It could be anything.
My dealer, my,
anything that's going to keep us from feeling the feelings.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I think that's the danger that, especially with young men, I feel like we put them in all these different types of prisons, you know, the prisons of pharmacies, the prisons of, you know, pharmaceuticals, the prison of substance use, the prisons of distraction. And really what it is they just need to be seen, be held, but express these feelings that they have. And, you know, we see it as we see, okay, the kid's angry, but well, yeah, of course he's angry. Look around, right?
Yeah.
And so we don't want them to feel that, you know, like especially my as a counselor, I don't ever hand anybody the Kleenex box because I feel like that's, I notice like, oh, I'm giving this to somebody because I'm feeling uncomfortable right now when they're crying and it's like, it's not everywhere. So, you know, how do we stay in that? And I think, you know, when we know how we grieve, that's the natural way for humans to process their emotions. Is grief. The cortisol comes out of our tears, right, when we cry.
And they're cleansing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I love the example of not handing a client the Kleenex box. Because if we're going to survive on this planet, we got to learn how to help ourselves.
Yeah.
And not be rescued all the time and use our own energies because that's essential in order for a person to grow.
Right. And they're going through the process. And I notice, like, if I'm doing that, why am I doing this? You know, like I, you know, oh, there's snots coming, you know, whatever that is. And it takes away from the actual experience they're having, you know, the fixer archetype that I could get caught into as a therapist and I have to be careful about, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And especially coming from the viewpoint of a male, we're taught that, well, a lot of us are taught, you can handle this or you don't need to show your emotions or you can't trust sharing this with another individual, unless, of course, it's going to see a therapist.
Right. Right. And Dogara culture, you cannot grieve alone. You are not allowed. So that's why they have these grief rituals. And so what, for in their culture, nature's the only thing that can take our grief. We can't give it to somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
So you build a grief, you build the nature altar, which is the grief altar, and it's all like, has elements of their four, like, plant, animal, you know, stone, mineral, water, and then you have a forgiveness altar on one side and then your family altar on the other.
Yep.
And we have the village in the back that's singing and drumming, and then when you feel that, and we have a song called Ai Weiwei that is supposed to, it helps men induce grief. It's a song that means the flood comes through the village and you have one hand to reach out to grab your wife or your mother. And that's like this acknowledgement of like loss, that there's going to be loss no matter what. How do you integrate it into you? And then so you, when you grieve, you, when you start to feel it, then you go to the grief altar and you hold up a finger and somebody just holds space for you. They're not like trying to hug you. They're not trying to like calm you down. They just sit with you.
And it's part of the cycle of life. Yeah,
yes.
We're all going to experience grief. Well, Kenny Alton, you've been helping people on this island for a long time in a lot of different capacities. I can certainly see the association of being able to process grief and using the healing powers of nature because of your association with Journeyman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you speak to that for just a minute?
Well, you know, when we take boys out into nature, like I said, nature for them is the only thing that could actually hold our grief, right? Because grief in that culture is poisoned. So when we take the boys out, that's a safe space, right? It's a way, we don't have phones, we don't have distractions, we don't have technology. We're just there with our bodies, our souls, whatever you want, our psyche, whatever you want to call it. And nature will hold us. It's the thing that's so ingrained in us. It's vitamin N is what they like to call it. You know, it's like this, the great cure-all, right?
Vitamin N. We all need a dose of vitamin N.
And,
but when you look at the beautiful environment we live on here on Vashon, nature is all around us.
Yeah.
Unlike if we were, you know, living in a concrete jungle versus look how much discord is in inner cities compared to what we have offered here on Vashon. Well, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you that have just joined us, my guest today is Kenny Alton from Vashon Youth and Family Services. And Kenny is going to be facilitating a processing group on grief coming up. Unfortunately, it's full. However, if somebody does want to get on the waiting list, mm-hmm. how can they go about doing so?
You could either contact the Senior Center or contact Susan Pettiger, 206-818-4232. And it'd be good to just get your name and if this is an interest to you, because we were hoping to continue this group maybe in the winter, maybe in the fall. And yes, we sort of limited it to 12 because that's, you know, it's about the capacity we could hold as one single facilitator. But yeah, those, that's the option. And get your name on the list and hopefully they will be there to, you could do the next one.
Well, that sounds really good. And Kenny, if somebody wants to get hold of a person to set up some counseling at Vashon Youth and Family Services, how would they go about doing that?
Well, just call the front desk. Do I have that number? And set up an intake appointment. And that's a way to get set up an appointment at Vashon Youth and Family Services. And the phone number there is 206-463-5511. And yeah, and that's a great, there's not one counselor there that I feel like is not amazing and capable. This is one of the best places I've ever worked.
You know, I tend to agree with you there. Yeah. I feel I'm totally honored to be able to work with Kenny.
I agree.
And several other clinicians that are there for the sole purpose of helping people. And oftentimes I close my show or start my show with asking you, as a listener, who have you helped today? And we can all close our days feeling better about ourselves and others when we can ask us that question. Who have I helped today? And maybe the biggest help today for you may have been helping yourself. You don't have to feel selfish about doing something nice for yourself. Okay.
Well, there's a phrase that when I was working with Michael Mead and at Mendocino and working with youth at risk, and they had a phrase called "the bullet goes both ways." These guys who would, like, you know, these gang kids who would, and they would say, you know, if you hurt somebody, you hurt yourself. Now you could also say that the healing goes both ways. If you heal somebody, you know, you're healing yourself. And I've noticed. For me, that was like a major important process for my own personal healing, is to, the healing goes both ways.
Hello.
Are you there? So, if we just incorporate that into our lives, I think we could go a long ways. It's that experience of the healing goes both ways, or the wounded healer, as sometimes it's known as. If we know how to help ourselves, then we know how to help others.
Well, talking about the wounded healer, I've got a segue here to where I've been trying to accept a phone call coming into the station here from our lovely and talented Emmy Bell, who was going to give us an update. And I don't know if the moons and the planets are not aligned in such a way today, but first of all, coming into the station, because I had some great music planned for you folks today, and some music about grieving, some music about other things, and there's Emmy Bell. Emmy, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Oh my gosh. Now, see, all I had to do was acknowledge it, and now it's coming through. Yes, I can certainly hear you, Emmy. So glad you called today. And, well, I know you've got an update for us, right?
I do have a couple of things to run by you. Should I start with the diaper drive?
God, please start with the diaper drive. I haven't been able to sleep at night.
Well, no worries, Tom, because we are making some really good headway with that. I dropped off almost a carload of diapers a few days ago to Family Place. So thank you for everyone that's been a Costco run and including that in your order and dropping it off. That's really been helpful. And I want to give a specific shout out to one of my coworkers at Hershey Housing, Bridget Webb. She just made a big donation of Costco diapers in many sizes. So thank you so much, Bridget. Let's see. we haven't raised any more funds than last time, but we're just getting a lot of the diapers, which is fantastic.
Well, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, and the thing is that I'm not able to thank everybody. If folks want to drop them off, if you would like to leave a little sticky note with your name on it, I would love to be able to thank you either here on the air or just to send you a thank you card and let you know we really appreciate you. So, you know, I just don't have anyone to thank, and it feels a little, it's not complete, you know. So, but well, anyway, yeah.
A lot of people, I know several people like to just drop them off anonymously, too.
I know. Okay. Whatever folks are so comfortable with, that's fine.
Yep.
But so next, what's happening is we call it, I'm calling it, our budget cut busting fall giving campaign. Because I don't know if folks are aware yet or not that we have lost some funding. In 2026, we know of some funding that we're going to be losing for Medicaid remittance and also the King County reductions. We have lost all of our at-risk youth funding for counseling services, and I think Kenny was talking about that. We have been able to partner with the Vashon School Foundation to make up some of that, but we still have a significant loss that we need to make up in 2026. So that's going to kind of be the lead for this campaign, is to budget, to, you know, cut this busting, budget cut busting fall giving campaign.
Budget cut busting. I like it.
It's going to be officially starting this week, and folks probably won't see letters in social media touch points until the beginning of October, but that's going to be right around the corner.
So our listeners are very fortunate to get a sneak preview jumpstart.
Yeah. Exactly. one thing we're doing is we are looking for more business sponsorships during this campaign to match gifts of donors. So we are looking for a baker's dozen of local businesses. So you should hear from me soon. And if business owners are listening and they want to give me a call, and I can go through some of the benefits of giving and partnering with Vashon Youth and Family Services at evell@byfs.org.
Nice.
And let's see, I wanted to share, one thing I want to do during this campaign, Tom, if there's time, is to share an impact story each week from one of the program managers, the counselors, clinical director at BYFS.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I'm so glad you mentioned that, too. I mean, because, you know, I'll go around town. I might see a former client of my own that I haven't seen for a while. And in fact, it just happened today. Somebody will pull me aside and say, I don't know how much you helped me, but this is where I'm at today in my life. And I'll tell you what, it is so gratifying. It feels so good. And it kind of validates that I'm doing what I love to do. And we certainly don't do it for the pay. We all know that, correct? We do it because it is a way of giving you back to the community. And for some of us that are clinicians or somebody like yourself may have been in a situation where they were helped. And this is just a part of the ripple effect of paying it forward.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, you just touched on something. When I first moved here in 2016, I'm a single mom, and I was priced out of Seattle, West Seattle. And I wanted to get my son out of the city. We weren't in the greatest area. And the school wasn't that great for him, so I was looking for, you know, a safe, nature-based place to rehome, call my home. And I came into BYFS, and you guys gave me what I needed for first and last, or first in deposit. So I didn't have that giant chunk ready for, you know, for me to move in.
Wow.
So you possible, and I remember Deb, and I came back, and I said, I remember your tattoo. I don't remember your... And that's when I was studying grant writing, and said, you guys are the first people I wanted to pay back, you know, for helping me get started. So, yeah, I was able to finish school, get my degree, and also specialize in grant writing. So.
Well, and paying back is certainly what you've been doing since you've been with us, because I know a lot of our grants... A lot of our funding is a direct result of your letter writing, your phone calls, your personal contact, the footwork you do. You're up at Vashon on weekends. I mean, for the last couple of Saturdays, you've been up there collecting donations for the diaper drive. And, I mean, it goes on and on.
It is a labor of love. I do love it. And I love the work that everybody is doing in this program. And I'm just amazed by, you know, we've got 50 employees and 2 interns. That's a lot of, you know, folks that are working there. So,
yeah, and I think most people don't realize that we have that many people actually employed at Vashon Youth and Family Services.
Yes, it's a big employer, definitely.
Two weeks ago, I just want to list one example of some of the ways that we reach out to the community. Was 2 weeks ago, we had a film that was shown free to the community at the Vashon Theater, which I love, and it was called 28 Days with Sandra Bullock, and it was a film about recovery, and I got to tell you, we had over 60 people show up for that film, which is, that's a lot of people for an afternoon on a Tuesday, and coming up in two weeks from today is going to be our next movie. This might be the last one of the series, but I want to make sure everybody knows about this one. And it's a film that it goes back a few years, but it's especially appropriate for not just high school aged kids, but anybody that's never really, that maybe has had issues of maybe feeling like the hole in the donut, or maybe that they didn't fit in, because the title of the film is The Perks of Being a Wallflower. And if you've seen it, you know how powerful it is. So I'm encouraging, if you're a high school kid or if you're a parent that wants to bring your kids, or if you're just an adult that wants a free night out, because it's going to be, once again, Tuesday on September 23rd. And that is where the doors are going to open at 5:30. The movie starts at 5:30. Doors open at 5. And then we're going to have a conversation afterwards with free pizza as well. And your admission, which is free, is also going to include a free Mighty Mouse. Now, I didn't know what a Mighty Mouse was, but everybody that lives on Vashon that's been to the theater knows what a Mighty Mouse is. It's kind of a combo platter that includes popcorn, candy, and a soft drink. So there you go. And you know what? This grant, we can thank Emmy for. So thank you, Emmy, for all these free movies.
You're welcome. But, you know, the program manager is the one developing this amazing program, and it's in direct response to the needs of the community. We're always asking, we're always listening, and thinking of innovative ways to meet those needs. So, yes.
And the last time that I got to kind of host what brief time we had for a discussion afterwards, but one of my main questions to the audience was, how many of you would like to see more of the event, more of these events in the future? And it was overwhelmingly, we do, we love this. And then because of LaShawn, we've had these skating parties over in West Seattle, entertainment things for the family. So, you know, the benefits, and I can't stop talking enough about Vashon Youth and Family Services, just because, you know, we love helping people, and it goes on and on and on. So with the fundraising drive coming up, keep in mind how many people it's actually touched on the island.
Yep.
Either directly or indirectly.
At least 20% is what we've figured, is that we've assisted at least 20% of the island.
Directly.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. And, you know, it's not just us folks. It's people like Granny's and other and Vashon Thriftway and other companies and businesses that also contribute, because we're all, you know, that's the island culture. We're here to help each other out.
That's right. We've been here almost 50 years.
Gosh.
Hopefully 50 more, yeah.
I got to tell you, you know, our time is really limited. I only have a half hour for my show up here, but, and without having any music today, it worked out just fine, because we had a lot of interesting things to yap about, And it's always a pleasure having you on the show. Thanks for the update on the diaper drive. And can we touch bases with you again next Tuesday?
Absolutely. And I'll have a new impact story to share with you.
Oh, I love it. Hey, thanks again, Emmy. And I get to go back to work now over at Vashon Youth and Family Services, where we've got the friendly plumbers from Pinkies over there trying to figure out what the heck is going on with our water system over there. So super nice guy from Pinkies helping us get everything back to normal. Talk to you next Tuesday, and I love you all.